Well, as you guys know, it's Labor Day weekend, and so for all of you who are here, thank you for being here. Thank you for not being out camping or, you know, having a trip. I'm sure all of you would much rather be here than out doing anything fun, so we're really glad that you decided to show up today, and I'm excited that you're here today because I think we have a great message from God's Word to teach us. I'm certainly looking forward to talking about it today, and I just want to say thank you for being here. For those of you who have been here the past few weeks, you know that we were going through the book of 2 John, and we just finished that short series last week, and then next week, we're going to be starting a series through the book of Daniel, which I'm really excited about because that's my name, and so it's definitely the best book in the Bible. Actually, I'm excited about it for a lot of different reasons. That series is going to take us a little bit longer. It's going to go through pretty much the Christmas season. And so I'm really looking forward to that. So that's next week. But this week, we figured that since it's Labor Day weekend, we should maybe talk about work. Let's talk about work. What does the Bible have to say to us about labor? And so today, we're going to be looking at what the Bible has to say about that. But as we get started, I want to ask a question. How many of you have ever actually been paid to do a job? Okay, most of us have, even if it's just like a lemonade stand or mowing a lawn or babysitting or something, most of us have gotten paid to do a job at some point. But let me ask a second question. How many of you have ever done work that wasn't paid? Yeah, pretty much all of us, right? If you're a kid, you're like, yes, I do tons of that all the time, right? All my chores. So labor is not just what you get paid to do. We all know that you labor at stuff that sometimes you don't get paid for. In fact, I know a lot of you are here and you're retired, but would you say, if you're retired, would you say you've stopped working altogether? No, I'm not seeing any hands there. There's still lots of work to be done, right? You're taking care of your house, you're taking care of your grandkids, you're volunteering, you're spending lots of time working still. So human beings, we spend a lot of our days, a lot of our time working. Whether it's paid work or unpaid work, we spend tons and tons and tons of our hours throughout our lives at work. And the Bible has a lot to say about that. The question I want to look at today is this. Is work good? Is work good? And if it is, then why is it good? In other words, is it right for us to celebrate Labor Day? Should we actually celebrate Labor Day as a celebration of the work that's contributed to our country and those who work so hard? Should we actually celebrate it or not? And the Bible has an answer for this. So let's go ahead and go to the Word of God. Today we're going to be in Genesis. We're going to go back to the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1. And Genesis chapter 1, we're going to begin with verse 1. And then we're going to jump down to verse 27, 28, go into chapter 2. So we're going to be looking at a few different verses here, but let's start with Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, very first verse of the Bible. It says this, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And jump down with me to verse 27. Verse 27 says, "God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" And then jump with me to chapter 2, verse 15. It says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it." And verse 18 says, "Then the Lord said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him.'" Okay, so here we just kind of jumped around a little bit in the first couple chapters of Genesis. But we see here, right at the start, we begin to see an answer to the question, is work good? And the answer is yes. Yes, work itself is good. And I want to talk about four different reasons we can see from these places that work is good. And the first reason work is good is because God works. God works. If you notice, Genesis 1:1 does not say God relaxed, right? It doesn't say in the beginning God was chilling out. No, it says in the beginning God created. In the beginning of time, in the beginning of this earth, God worked. He created. That is an act of work. And friends, we know that everything God does is good, right? God does not do anything that is bad, and so therefore, if God works, that means work is good. If God creates, creating is therefore good. And this has really big implications for us because verse 27 says that we are created in the image of God. And so if we are created in the image of God, that means a lot of different things, and there's a lot we could talk about what that means. But today I want to talk about if you're created in the image of God, that means that you're going to do the same kinds of things that God does. And so if God is a creator, you're going to create. If God works, you are going to work. If you are created in the image of God, you will do the type of things that God does. In other words, you will work. And that's the second reason why work is good. Work is good because we were created to work. We were created to work. Verse 28 says that we are supposed to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over it. And that means that we have a task. We have a job to perform as human beings. We're supposed to fill the earth with other humans. We're supposed to subdue it and rule over it. We're supposed to take care of this earth. Chapter 2, verse 15, we read a minute ago, says that we're supposed to cultivate. We're supposed to cultivate the garden. We're supposed to take care of it. We're supposed to create beauty. And as we populate the earth, we're supposed to take care of other people who are on this earth. In other words, we're supposed to create culture. That's what we are called to do. And notice that everybody is called to this task. In verse 18, it says that Eve was created as a helper in this work. She was created to help with the work that Adam is given. And so at the very start, work was good. Cultivating the ground, naming animals, guarding against evil, expanding the garden. This is a good thing. And this is not just God's backup plan. This was God's plan from the very beginning. Work in itself, labor in itself, is actually a good thing. You and I were created to do stuff. That's what we were created to do, to create, to produce, to nurture, to watch out. That's what we're created for. So work is good because we're created to do it. But even more than that, it is also good because it brings glory to God. Work brings glory to God. Again, we said a minute ago that we were created in the image of God. And that means that if God is a God who creates and who works, then when we work, we are actually reflecting God to this world. Do you understand? When you are at work, when you're at your job, whether you're paid for it or not paid for it, whatever you're doing, you're reflecting the glory of God. And so in that sense, work is actually worship in itself because you're giving glory to God simply by doing the task in front of you. Work itself brings glory to God. And that means that the same thing even for the most mundane of tasks. When you're washing dishes, when you're mopping the floor, when you're doing that task at work that you just think is the most boring thing ever, this is glorifying to God because it's reflecting the God who works. So our work itself reflects the glory of God. Therefore, it is good. And the final reason I want to talk about that work is good is that work is how God provides for the world. Work is how God provides for the world. I really like this one. Think about the Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says you're supposed to pray and pray, God, give us our daily bread, right? That's one of the requests we make of God. Well, let me ask you, how does God provide your daily bread? How does he typically provide it? It's not usually by dropping manna from heaven, right? Most of the time, when you get your daily bread by working at a job, and then you get some money, and then you take that money and you go to Albertsons and you buy bread, and the bread's on the shelf and you buy it. But think about, how did that bread get there? The bread got there because some trucker, you know, drove the bread to the store, and before he drove it, it had to get packaged up in a factory, and somebody had to bake the bread in the factory. And before it got baked, somebody had to go harvest all those materials to make it with the ingredients of the bread. And there's farmers out in the field who are harvesting, but they're using machines. And those machines that they're using had to be engineered by somebody, had to be built by somebody. And the people who engineered those machines had to get educated at a college or a graduate school so they could make those machines. And so that means they had to have teachers who were teaching them in order to make the machines, who could harvest the stuff, that could make the bread, that could be driven to the shelf. And now you're buying at Albertsons. When you pray to get your daily bread, you're not just praying for bread to drop down from the sky. You're praying for the whole supply chain. What that means is that when we're praying, God answers our prayers through other people. And so your work, the work that you're doing, the menial tasks that you're doing, or the big tasks that seem very important to you, That is how God is providing for the world. You understand that? So that means that our work has value because for the most part, the way God answers our prayers, the way God provides for humanity is through your work. So what we do matters for all of these reasons. So that means that even though you might just be washing dishes or maybe you're making dinner or you're cleaning up your house or you're working that job that you don't like very much, this is part of God's plan. Work is good. Work is good because God works and he created you to work. And when you work, you reflect his glory. And when you work, you're actually providing for the needs of other people. And so that means that work is a gift from God. Work is good. However, if work is so good, you might ask yourself, then why do I hate it so much? Why do I dislike work so much? Why am I looking forward to retirement? Why am I enjoying retirement so much? Why is work so difficult sometimes? Why is it seen as a curse? And to answer that question, you don't have to go very far in the book of Genesis. If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, we're going to see what happened. And I'm going to kind of skip the story of the actual fall. I think you guys all know this. But basically, Adam and Eve, they were given a task to subdue the earth. And instead of subduing the earth subdued them. A created creature, the serpent comes and it deceives them and they listen. Instead of kicking the serpent out of the garden, they listen. And so instead of subduing the earth, they actually fail at their primary task. And because they failed at their primary task, they're going to suffer this separation from God. And that means that from now on, the work of humanity is going to be at odds with God's work. In many different ways, we're going to be at odds with God. And as a result, work is going to be hard. And we see this here in Genesis chapter 3. Let's look at verse 17 to 19. It says, "Then to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return.'" Up in verse 16, it also talks about how Eve's work of childbirth is also going to be more painful. Her work's going to be harder as well. So the point is, work is now hard. Work is now under this curse. And that's why we often view work today as something to kind of struggle through rather than a blessing. And let's be honest, work is sometimes hard. Work can be frustrating. How many of you have ever come home from work in a bad mood? Yeah, that may have happened to me once or twice this week. How many of you have ever been home with your kids all day and ended the day in a bad mood? Yeah, all right. So it's not just work, right? It's just any job you're performing at home or at the job site, it can be difficult. Work is hard now because humans are messed up. Right, and most of our jobs involve working with other humans. And if not working with them, we have to work with ourselves. And we're sinful, we're messed up. And so work is hard. Work is hard because it's literally exhausting. It's literally exhausting. You come home some days and you're like, I gotta just fall down and go to sleep. I can't even function anymore. Work is hard because things just go wrong at our work. My dad always says that like a house project always takes two times as long and three times as much money as you expect it to. It just never goes the way you're expecting it to, right? But work can also be hard because it can sometimes seem like it's just pointless. You ever feel like your job is just like, what's the point of this job? My first real job was in high school, was I worked at Ross Dress for Less. And I was getting paid like, I think it was something less than $6 an hour. And I worked at Ross. I worked in the home accents department, which means that I was with all like the home goods in the back of the store. And I don't know if you guys have ever been to Ross, but a secret about Ross is that every day this atomic bomb goes off in the store and stuff just goes everywhere inside the store. And so my job was usually I'd come in at the end of the day and I would have to put everything back together again. And this was like the most frustrating job ever because Ross is a discount store. And at Ross, you basically nothing matches. So it's like everything is completely individual. There's no way to organize it. So my job would be I'd have a shelf that was like as long as the front of this stage, all full of picture frames. And those picture frames would be stacked like six or seven deep because there was no way to actually organize them. So they'd just be like sitting up there, all different sizes, all different kinds. And my job would be I have to arrange this shelf. And so I'd arrange these pictures, and it'd take me like an hour. And I'd finally get it done. It'd all look nice and pretty. And I'd walk over to the next aisle, and this person would come through like 2 seconds later looking for a picture and just knock everything down again. And it was just, it drove me crazy. It drove me nuts. It felt so pointless. You guys ever been in a job that feels pointless? I feel like this job felt like the most pointless job in the world. Like it's just not working. And then I had kids. And I realized that I love my kids, but keeping your house clean with kids is a lot like working at Ross. Like, why did I just clean up that playroom? Why did I just mop that floor? There's no reason. It's just dirty again. Sometimes your job can feel like, what's the point? What's the point? Friends, that's the fall. That's the fall. Our work can feel futile. It can feel frustrating. It can feel difficult. It can be exhausting. Work is good, but it's also tainted by evil. It's tainted by the fall, and we feel that struggle. Pastor Tim Keller wrote this really good book called Every Good Endeavor. I'd encourage you to check it out if you want to know more about kind of Christianity and work. Every Good Endeavor, it's a really great book. And in that book, he said this: you should expect to be regularly frustrated in your work, even though you may be in exactly the right vocation. In other words, you can find that dream job, and you're still going to expect to be extremely frustrated much of the time. Because work is fallen. Even in your dream job, it's difficult. So the question then is this: if we were created to work, if we're supposed to cultivate and create and benefit society through our work, and yet work is cursed, does that mean we just shouldn't work? Or should we view work as a curse in itself and only live for the weekend? Well, the answer is, of course, neither one of those things. We have another alternative as followers of Christ. See, work, despite the pain, is still good because we have a new boss. We have a new boss. If you would turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 in the New Testament. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says about labor. Colossians 3, verse 23 to 24, it says this: whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Here Paul is speaking to slaves. And to the slaves, he says, you should do good work because you have a new boss. Your real boss is not your slave master. Your real boss is Jesus Christ. Your real boss is the Lord. He sees your work. He understands your work. He validates your work. And moreover, Paul says that you have an eternal reward from him. That eternal reward, obviously, is the reward we have in heaven. After we die, we're going to be with God forever. We're going to be living in the state of perfection with him. But we need to understand that our inheritance does not start after we die. It's already been given to us. And our inheritance as followers of Christ is Jesus Christ living with me right now. In your job that feels frustrating, in the work that you're doing day after day that feels like it's just a grind, God is there with you. Your reward is his presence with you, the peace and the joy that he gives to you in the midst of difficult jobs. Our reward is already here with us. And so that means whatever job you're involved with, God is right here with you, and he is pleased with your work as you do it for him. And so what that means is that every job that we have has purpose. Not just the jobs that feel meaningful to us, every job matters. Even as a slave, your job matters because you have a new boss with a new reward. And the best example I can think of someone who works for that new boss, who works for God as their boss, is Jesus himself. I was thinking about this. When Jesus came to earth, he did not come as a lazy aristocrat. He did not come as somebody who didn't have to work. He came as somebody who was born into a poor family. And his dad was a carpenter. Joseph was a carpenter. And that means that Jesus spent most of his adult life working with his hands. He spent most of his time on earth working as a carpenter, getting calluses, getting muscles through working with his hands. And that's so crazy to me to think about. The very Son of God, the eternal Son who has existed forever, comes to earth and takes on humanity, and he says, I'm going to spend most of my 33 years on earth working as an apprentice and as a carpenter. And we see this very clearly in Mark chapter 6. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus goes to his hometown. And in Mark chapter 6, verse 3, the people from his hometown say, "Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary?" They did not know Jesus as a miracle worker or as somebody who was preaching all the time or a prophet. They did not know him as a teacher. They knew him as somebody who made stuff with his hands. That's what he did. And you have to ask yourself, why did he spend so much time doing that? Why did he wait till the very end of his life to go into, quote, full-time ministry? And the answer is, this was the will of the Father for him. In John chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus says that he does nothing of his own initiative, but he only does the will of God. And so it was the will of God for Jesus himself to spend hours and days and years working with his hands. And guess what? God was pleased with that. The Father was pleased with that work. And so that means for us that whatever God has called you to work at, as you work for him, he is pleased with that work. God was pleased with Jesus as a carpenter. He is pleased with your job as a parent, as an engineer, as a fast food worker, as a volunteer somewhere, as a business owner, as a teacher. God is pleased with that work as you work for him as your real boss. Friends, understand, the Father did not become pleased with Jesus as soon as he entered full-time ministry. When Jesus begins his full-time ministry at the age of about 30, God is already pleased with him. The Father is already pleased because he's been following the will of God, and the will of God for him was to be a carpenter. So Dorothy Sayers says that the only Christian work is good work well done. The only Christian work is good work well done. And what she meant by that was this: if you are a follower of Jesus, you are in full-time Christian work. You are in full-time Christian work. You are a full-time follower of Jesus Christ in whatever job that he's given to you. There is no separation in God's mind between somebody who does one job or another job. Every job that God gives to you is his will for your life, and you're supposed to do that for Christ. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are a full-time Christian worker. So, if that's the case, what does it look like for us, practically, to live like a Christian in our work? How do we follow Jesus in our work? Does it look any different? And we've been trying to make the point this morning that any work that you're assigned to by God to do is valid work and work that he is pleased with. And what that means is that Christians are going to have jobs just like other people, right? You guys all have jobs like engineers and like plumbers and teachers and homemakers or whatever. We have jobs that look very similar to other people. However, if you're a follower of Christ, the way you do that job is going to be a little different. So I want to talk about four different ways that we do our work as a Christian that might look a little different. The first one is simply this: we will work. We will work. In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul is reminding them how he was with them, and when he was with them, he worked with his hands. He was a tent maker. He says he paid for his own food. And then he goes on to say, 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, "If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either." Which sounds kind of harsh, but what he's saying there is, as a follower of Jesus, you need to understand that God has called you to work. Just like we've been talking about this morning, God calls you as a human to work. We were created for this, and Christians should understand that. Pastor Tom Nelson wrote a book about work as well, and in that book he said this: a slothful Christian is a contradiction in terms. I like that. A slothful Christian is a contradiction in terms. If you're a follower of Christ, you're not going to be lazy. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to work 12 hours a day. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get paid for the work that you do. But what it does mean is that you're going to work. That is what God has called you to as a human being. We will work. Whether that's volunteering with your neighbors, whether that's helping somebody in need, whether it's watching your kids, or whether it's working an actual job that has a paycheck associated with it, we will be actively working as followers of Christ. That's the first implication. Secondly, we will do excellent work. We will do excellent work. You know, I have a really hard time imagining Jesus as a carpenter making tables that were terrible. I can't imagine him making a table and going like, "Yeah, it's falling over, but that's good enough for me." Like, I don't think Jesus did shoddy work. I don't think he did, because he knew the Father. And he knew that the Father does excellent work. And when God does something, he doesn't do it halfway. He does it all the way. And I believe that as Christians, we are called to do excellent work. In Ephesians 6:6, Paul again is writing, and he says that we should do our work from the heart. Literally, it says from the soul. Pour your heart and your soul into your work. And why do we do this? Because we have a boss in heaven who sees our jobs. And God does excellent work, and so therefore we try to do excellent work as well. Excellent work does not just mean that you work really hard, though. It means that you're bringing your personality and your experiences and your creativity into your work. Whatever it is that you're working at, you can bring all of yourself into that. Bring your past experiences, bring your passion, bring that to your job as best you can. Whether that's in decorating a cake or writing a report or cleaning a bathroom, we bring who we are and our passion into what God has put in front of us. We need to understand, we may not be recognized for this. Your boss on earth may not see this work, but God does. And he is well pleased with us as we work hard for him. So as we work excellently, we also, thirdly, are going to love our neighbors at work. We love our neighbors at work. This year, we've been talking as a church about loving our literal neighbors. Like, we need to reach out to those houses around us, the people who live next door to us. I hope you're keeping that in mind. Be knowing your neighbors' names, getting involved with them, inviting them to your house. We're trying to focus on that this year as a church. But I was thinking about this, and the truth is, most of us, if you work a full-time job, you're interacting with your coworkers way more than you're going to interact with your neighbors, your literal neighbors. And so as a believer, as a follower of Christ, we need to ask ourselves, how do I love my neighbor who is my coworker well? What does that look like for us as followers of Christ? And really, it's very basic. It boils down to very simple stuff, like act like Jesus towards them. And that means showing them grace. It means that you show them love, that you serve them, that you have patience with them, that you're kind to them, that you act fairly towards them. And believe me, I understand this is hard to do because a lot of you are working with coworkers that are not easy to work with. You're working with bosses that are not easy to work with. You've got patients or clients or students that are not easy to work with. But we need to ask ourselves, how can I be somebody who's loving my neighbors at my job well? How can I love them well as myself? That's what we're called to do as followers of Christ. And finally, the final thing is that at times our job should give us a chance to speak of Jesus at work. Speak of Jesus at work. In 1 Peter 3:15, Peter says that we should always be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have in us. Friends, people should notice that you're different at your job. People should be aware of the fact that you're a Christian. It should just be something that's obvious to them. It should come up in conversation. There should be opportunities to talk, whether it's at a work party or maybe it's in the teacher's lounge or on the way to a job site or maybe it's with the moms at the park that you meet. Jesus should come up in conversation with your coworkers and those that you're working with. We should be aware of those opportunities, and we should take advantage of those opportunities to speak the name of Jesus. We need to ask God for wisdom to know and discernment. How can I engage with conversations about Christ with these coworkers? But that said, I want you guys to understand one thing very clearly. We speak with integrity about Jesus only after we have proven ourselves as diligent workers. We only speak about Jesus after we have proven ourselves as diligent workers. The reason I say that is if you go to Matthew 5:16 on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking and he says that people will glorify God after they see our good works. This is Matthew 5:16. It says people will see your good works and then they will glorify God, not the other way around. And so that means that as a believer in Christ, it's important that we work well. How many of you have ever had a coworker or somebody you know who talks a lot about following Jesus and then is just a terrible coworker? You guys ever know anybody like that? How damaging is that to the cause of Christ? It's terrible, right? How can you be a terrible employee? How can you be a terrible boss and claim to follow Jesus? That gives you absolutely no foot to stand on when it comes to talking about Christ. And so it's very important for us to do our work. Like we said, we do our work excellently so that we have an opportunity to talk about Jesus. If we're doing a bad job at our job, if we have a terrible attitude at our job, believe me, people will not want to hear about what you believe. We do our work well so that there's an opportunity to talk about Christ. That gives us their credibility. And it's then that we can share about Jesus. So there's a lot more we could say about work. Honestly, it could easily be a whole series on what does it look like practically on Monday morning when we go to work, we leave church, what does it look like to live out our faith there practically? But I'm hoping that this morning, maybe this is a little bit encouraging to you to know that, look, first of all, work is not a curse. Sometimes it might feel like it, but it's not. It is a good gift from the Lord. God himself is a worker. He has created us to work. When we work, we reflect his glory. When we work, we are a conduit of God's blessing to the world. And so this week, as we answer our phones, as we're baking cakes, as we're talking to people, as we're teaching kids, know that you are the hands and the feet of Jesus on this earth. Your work is not meaningless. It is not pointless. God is your boss, and he sees the work that you're doing, and he is pleased when we do the work for him. And so may our work this week be done for God, and may we find joy in the work that he has given to us to do. So the answer to the question, is it right to celebrate labor, is absolutely. And we should celebrate Labor Day tomorrow. We should celebrate work. We should celebrate those who work hard. And as we work hard, we should do it for the Lord, knowing that work is truly a gift from God. And it is a good, good gift. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are our God and that you have given us work. We thank you for the blessing that it is. Thank you for the purpose that it gives to us. We thank you that whatever you have given us to work at, whether it's in our homes or in the job place, Lord, we thank you that you are in that work and you see it. And as we work for you, you are glorified. Father, I pray that you would help us to find hope and joy in the things that are hard this week about our jobs. Lord, I pray that you would help us to work for you and to glorify you in all that we do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.